Turn in your Bibles, please, to Numbers. Chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto a place, unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my own kindred. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, Joy for the Journey. After the children of Israel had been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt, they miraculously witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, where they went over dry ground. I contend it's one of the most remarkable deliverances in all of the Word of God. And then they saw God roll all that water back on their enemies, and the Egyptians drowned in the water. Well, now they're beginning their journey to the promised land, to the fair land of Canaan, the land that God had promised them. Now we know later on that they didn't enter in. Moses did not lead them into the promised land. It was many years later, 40 years later, when God raised up Joshua to do that. But I find it interesting. I think this is a gem of a passage. I think it's interesting that in our text, Moses stops to talk to a man about the journey to Canaan. And he asks him to come along. He said, come with us, man. God is blessing Israel. We'll do you good. And I thought, you know, that's a lot like how we are to live. As we journey to our desired haven, our land of rest and joy, we ought to tell others to come along with us. We'll do you good if you will believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll have eternal life. It will be the very best thing that could ever happen to you. Come with us. Believe what I've told you. Unfortunately, the man responded like a majority of people do. I will not go. That's free will right there. Everybody talks about free will. Here it is. It's always free to refuse. It'll never bow to God's sovereignty and to the gospel unless God changes that will. Because the natural man's will is in bondage to his sin, to a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. And every time you preach the gospel, I guarantee you, men are going to say, I will not go, unless God does a miracle. And that's what the effectual call is. It's a miracle of God. It comes outside of you. You're not born of your own will. or of your own fleshly nature. God has to do a miracle to make you see what you need. Well, this man didn't see it. He said, I'll not go. That's the condition of every lost man. And you and I have to keep journeying. On the way, we're going to meet people, and an overwhelming majority of them are going to say, no, I will not go. In fact, we live in a time in history, at least in our little sphere of influence, where it appears to me there is a growing hostility to anybody that's on this journey to glory. People don't want to go with us. But that shouldn't rob us of joy. I thought about Moses. He was, in his mind, he's going into the Canaan's land. He wanted this guy to come along. And at this point, Moses really knew nothing. He didn't even know what was going to happen the next day when the Israelites were going to murmur and God was going to chastise them. All he knew was, I've got a promise. I'm on a journey. And God's going to do good to Israel. His hope was not on 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. His hope was entering into the land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised. You and I are on a journey to a land promised by God, just like Moses. Our hearts should be filled with joy and hope and expectation, and we ought to be found imploring others to come with us. The Christian life's a lot like a journey. It's a trip to a faraway land. If the Lord comes back today in the rapture and says, come up hither, we're going farther than we've ever been before. We're going to be in heaven with God and await the day when we come back with Him to rule and reign for 1,000 years upon the earth. We're journeying to heaven. Well, it got me to thinking, I like taking journeys. I like going on vacation. I like being with friends and family and enjoying the trip. And as God's people, we ought to rejoice in knowing that our final destination will be heaven. How can you have joy for the journey? Well, there are certain things. This sermon's not of great depth, but very practical. There are things that make a journey enjoyable. Number one, this is a biggie for me. I'm a list maker. Adequate preparation. Before I start out on a trip, I want to be prepared as much as possible. I make a list of things that I need. If I'm going preaching somewhere, I've already made a list of the sermons I think I'm going to preach. The nights I'm going to preach them. I've made a list of the suits I'm going to pack. The nights I'm going to wear them. I've already made a list. I've got things in my mind. I'm going to be ready to go. And the same is true with vacation. I make a list of things that we need. Because I don't like rushing around at the last minute. Have you ever started off on a trip and you get about an hour away and your wife says, oh, I forgot. Or, why do I pick on women? Okay. Or the man says, I forgot. I remember one time we were going on a trip to Mississippi and we got all the way to Lexington and we realized Tammy forgot her suitcase. So we went to yard sales and bought her some clothes. We did make it to Mississippi. She just looked like a ragamuffin. But we did make it. But you know what that feels like. In order to have a joyful journey to heaven, you need to prepare by faithfully devoting yourself to the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Now, if you're lost, the word to you is prepare to meet thy God. Repent and believe the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know if you're going to even have one more day. The word to you, the way you prepare for the rest of your life is today believe that Jesus died in your place, that He was buried, that He rose again for you personally. Because that's the only way you can prepare for eternity. Think about the majority of people in this world that don't give a thought in this life to where they're going to spend eternity. If you don't repent of your sins and believe the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you're going to take your sins with you throughout all eternity and be punished with an infinite torment. So the word to you, if you're lost, if you're unsaved, repent and believe the gospel. Now, if you are saved, your responsibility is every day to live unto the Lord. You prepare for heaven. You discipline yourselves in the ways of godliness and truth. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, defenseless. You know, I'm convinced that the reason why many people are always discouraged is because they're not daily preparing to enter heaven's glory. They're just going about their life, living like they want to. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to have joy if you live according to your own mindset. You've got to get your mind right. You've got to prepare to serve the Lord each and every day. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:7-8, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, a lot of overweight people say, see, exercise doesn't help you at all. And that's not what the verse says. It will profit you a little, all right? So walk a little bit. Take care of yourself. It's not saying that you ought to sit on your couch and eat bonbons on your way to heaven. It does profit a little, okay? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Don't neglect the disciplines of a joyful Christian life. Listen, what did David say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Ask God to give you joy in coming to the house of God. He said, but I don't agree with everything you preach. Well, good luck finding a church where you agree with everything somebody preaches. But you know what? You better get your mind right and agree with the truth of the Word of God. It may be that I'm actually preaching the truth and it's convicting you. Have joy when you come to the house of God. Go to the Word of God daily. Receive instruction from it. You'll have joy in mining the depths of the Word of God. There's joy in prayer. These are simple things that you and I ought to be doing on this journey. And if you're not, I guarantee you, you're going to get crossways. You're going to be unhappy. You're not going to have joy. And you'll probably develop a sour, critical, mean spirit. And it'll not only affect you with your bitterness, but it'll affect everybody around you, and you'll tell everybody just how discontent you really are. Quit it! Have some joy on this journey. Now, another thing. Things that make for an enjoyable journey, you got to have right directions. Now, you know, here I am preaching to the Pratt girls and Adelaide and Hunter and Devin. You know, kids that have no idea of the struggle of maps. Remember back in the day when you were getting ready to go somewhere, and if you had AAA, you called AAA, and your heart was beating real fast, and you're telling them, I got to have directions to such and such. And they send you everything, and you're looking at it, and you don't fully understand it. So you call somebody that you're going to their house maybe, and they give you directions. I remember when Brother Cockrell gave me directions to Mississippi. Here I am, a Yankee, down in the deepest parts of the South, and we get lost. And I go into the gas station, I say, we're trying to get to Mantachie, Mississippi. The guy said, oh, yeah. You go down over yonder over here. He said, go about 2 miles, you'll see a rusted out Chevrolet on the corner. You turn left there, you go about 50 yards, and there'll be a big rock. You turn left there. I come out. Tammy said, did they give you direction? I said, yeah, but I don't think they're right. You know, wasn't no roads they were telling me to go on. It makes you nervous if you don't have right directions. And so I know what that struggle is. I've gotten lost at different times. But the way you prevent that is you get good directions, you follow them, and remember what a relief it was when you finally got there. And you pull in I would get so happy that we actually made it somewhere. My wife's laughing because she knows this is so true about me. And they say men are afraid to ask directions. I wasn't afraid to ask directions. It's just I always got them messed up. But there is peace when you know that you're heading in the right direction. And then what happened? They invented, what were those things before you had your phone? A Magellan or something like that. And you'd punch in something. And that the woman in there would always tell you, turn here, turn there. I never got used to her, the woman in that machine. And I never trusted that. Now, I'll tell you what, these smartphones are smart. You punch that in on my phone now, I got a little thing. I've got a smartphone. And it's got a thing on there called Maps. You punch that Maps thing, and it's got this little magnifying glass that says search. And all you got to do is type in the address, and that, within seconds, it pops up the perfect directions. It's a miracle. It's amazing to me. It literally, God has brought this into my life, and it's revolutionized the way that I think on a trip. It's amazing. And I'm so thankful for it. So, God's Word is our map for the journey to heaven. And you ought to faithfully study it and apply its precepts and obey its commands. And when you do, I guarantee you, you're going to have joy. when you just do what God says. Go in the direction that He's leading you through His Word. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'm going to tell you, you get away from God's Word, you get out of church, you get away from the Word, you don't study it, your ability to follow directions, God's directions, will begin to diminish. And you're hurting yourself and you're hurting people around you. So you got to have right directions. I'm going to tell you, a lot of churches are not giving people the right directions. They're not telling them about the true way of salvation. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not declaring the whole counsel of God. And it's hurting people. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So right directions. That'll make your journey joyful. Now, I got to confess something. If we do go to Lake Lure, North Carolina, I don't have the exact address as I speak right now. But I'm sure Katie will text it to me. Number three, what makes for a joyful journey? This is a biggie for me on a vacation. Adequate provisions. When I go on a trip, I like to be well stocked with my favorite things to eat. Anybody else like that? Now, I know some people, when they travel, they just fly somewhere and eat out the whole week. We can't afford that. Never have been able to. So what I do is I start hoarding things before the trip. I'll think, you know what? Like Food Fair had that sale on T-bone steaks a few weeks ago. You all remember it. I called up. Hey, I know the meat cutters. I asked them to cut me 1¼-inch porterhouse steaks. Woo! Boy, they are beautiful, man. They're in my freezer right now. They're going on vacation with us. I told Katie, I said, I've already got one meal we're going to have. We're going to have porterhouse steak on the grill, baked potatoes, corn on the cob, and it's going to make you smile for a mile. I said, I got another meal. Everybody in my family loves when I make chicken fajitas, and I've preached about this before, so I don't want to get anybody real hungry. But I make chicken fajitas, and to save time, I'm going to make it with red beans and rice. It's lip-smacking good. I've already got that all ready to go. And then one of our old standards is my spaghetti. It's nothing special about it, but all the kids, everybody in the family, whenever we have my spaghetti, they always say, this is the best spaghetti I ever ate in my life. So we got three meals covered. You know, when the kids were little, I used to buy Coca-Cola. And I wouldn't let them have it on a trip. I'd buy them Big K. You know, listen, Coca-Cola, that's like Baptist champagne, man. You don't give that to kids. They don't know any better anyway. That's how my mom and dad raised me. I had no idea. When I finally tasted a Coke, it was like, wow! Well, I hardly ever drink any kind of pop now. But back then, a Coke was a real treat. Now I mainly drink coffee and water. Sometimes Spencer Guiley, usually, wherever I preach in Kentucky, he's there with a six-pack of Ale 8. And so I do indulge Ale 8 every once in a while. But adequate provisions. I like to know when I go on vacation, I'm going to eat good. You know, it's a blessing. You know, one of the greatest sources of joy during our journey to heaven is to realize all the spiritual bounty that we have in Jesus Christ. We are well stocked with blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We have all the promises of God. We have all the provisions of the storehouse of grace at our disposal as God's children. That ought to make you joyful. Yet some Christians are miserable because they spend more time dwelling on what they don't have rather than what they do have. You've got to get your mind right if you're going to have joy on this journey. I love the illustration. Spurgeon said that he went to visit an old widow woman. I've noticed Dave gets up. He's getting up a little earlier every week. He's hoping I'm going to get done early. Yeah. And you know what? It's not his fault. I see Teresa saying, get up. Get out now. See if we can get him out of here early. I don't want to get your hopes up, Dave. But Spurgeon said that he visited an old widow woman. And he went in and she had a piece of bread and a cup of water. She started praying. She said, "Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings." And she said, "Thank you for this bread and thank you for this drink." She said, "Imagine all this and heaven too. All this and heaven too." She was rejoicing in the most meager provisions, but she had her heart set on God rather than this world. You know, that'll give you, you'll be a lot happier if you can learn the truth of contentment. To be content with food and raiment and with the Lord. And then another thing that makes for a joyful journey is the fellowship on the way. Now, historically, when we used to go on vacation, we finally learned to leave in the middle of the night. I never did give the kids Benadryl or, allergy medication to make them sleep. I didn't do that. Okay, but we did learn that if we left in the middle of the night, they would sleep through a lot of the trip. And we'd start out, and Tammy was good for about an hour. You know, me and her would talk and we'd have our coffee and it was quiet. The kids were asleep. And then Tammy would finally doze off. And then I would just drive. And I'd commune with the Lord. You know, if you want to really enjoy this journey to heaven, you got to learn what it means to spend quiet time with God. Go into the secret place of the Most High. Delight yourself in God's presence. Rejoice in the opportunity to pray. Take full advantage of the promise. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Learn to enjoy communion with God and with God's people. Rejoice when you're able to come to the house of God. Come with a heart filled, ready to receive the truth, ready to sing with joy, ready to be with God's people. It ought to encourage you. Communion on the way. Be a pretty lonely life if you didn't have the Lord to talk to and other people to share your burdens, your trials, your joys. Learn to commune and have fellowship on the way. And then another joy for the journey is knowing that you have adequate resources in case you run into some troubles or difficulties. I'm old enough to know what it is to not have a credit card at all. And you had to think about how much money you needed. Put it. I used to have an envelope for gas, envelope for lodging, envelope for groceries. And I mean, you can ask my wife. I wrote down every expense. It's a blessing to know you got enough in case you run into unexpected troubles or difficulties. Because it's almost inevitable in the Christian life. You're going to run into difficulties. You're going to run into hardships. And sometimes it happens on a trip when you're going. I'll never forget, we had Old Blues, an Old Blue station wagon. In fact, I had it when I came here. We were going on vacation one time. We were going down Buffalo Creek Road. Katie and Tammy were in Old Blue. And they were going to Walmart to get something for our trip. And a big deer ran right into the side of it. And a massive dent on the side that never got fixed. But anyway, we went anyway. But anyway, we were driving Old Blue. We were going up to Canada. It was a trip that we took with a lot of friends. We did it several years in a row. And we left early. And what we used to do with Old Blue is I used to take the seats and make them all flat in the back. Not a seat belt to be found. I'd put blankets and pillows back there. I had done some ingenuity on the top and had a hillbilly turtle. You know, most people have those turtles that are sealed. Ours was a box with some blue tarp over it so nothing would get wet. All right? So here we are. The kids are sleeping in the back there. And they're happy, man. Look, we get our own beds the whole way on the trip. We get about an hour away from home, and the front of the car just starts smoking. I said, looked over at Tammy. I said, I think something's wrong. Well, we didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have nothing. I had to run somewhere and call Jimmy Rouse, guy in our church at that time. He's an old boy from North Carolina. I was the only one in the church that could understand him when he talked. He talked with this North Carolina brogue. And I called him. I said, he said, well, you got what you got here. He said, you got a long head there. Okay, well, I said, you mean a blown head gasket? He said, yeah. He said, I'll be right there. He called another member of our church, Terry Morgan, said the preacher is on 75, his car's down, got a blown head gasket. Terry Morgan says, I'll bring him our station wagon. I'll follow you there. You just, they can just put all their stuff out of their car into my car and not miss a beat. Now theirs was an old white station wagon. It was a miracle we got to Canada in it. But see, this is adequate provisions from unexpected sources. I thought when the kids woke up and we told them we got a blown head gasket, which that meant nothing to kids that are, seven and down. I said, it looks like we ain't going. Immediate crying. And then Jimmy Rouse and Terry Morgan show up and immediate joy. Oh, we can still go? You see, you got to realize God is going to provide exactly what you need when you need it. It may not be what you expect. It may be even better than what you expect. But you got to learn that troubles are a part of this life. And you got to learn to rest on the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then another thing that makes joy for the journey is anticipation of the revival. Of the arrival. That's half the fun. For me, half the fun of vacation is looking online at the place we're going to, like the place we're going to, never been to before. It's called Lake Lure. Of course, they show you all the best pictures they've got on there. And it looks like we're going to a virtual paradise, okay? And you just think about, I start thinking about all the things we're going to do. They got zip lining. They've got pontoon boats. They got kayaks. They got everything. I'm going to make Josh pay for it all. That's going to make the trip good, bro. Because last week was my birthday week. But just thinking about all the good times that you have with friends and family, the anticipation is often better than when you actually get there. Okay? I'll give you an idea. One time we were going to Canada. It was the first time we were going to Canada. The people that we were going up there with, we were going to stay in a cabin. And, I mean, they made this place sound like it's unlike anything you've ever been to. You're going to have the best time of your life. We pulled in to where our cabin was, and we noticed there was a foul odor. All right? And it was nasty. And the closer we got to our cabin, the worse the smell got. And we pull up to this cabin. We thought that these were pretty nice cabins. All right? They weren't. In fact, our cabin had the door, it had a big hole in the bottom of it. When I went to open it, a squirrel came out of there. So it wasn't quite what we expected. Now, we had a great time. I mean, we fished all week and we had a blast, but it wasn't what we expected. But you know, most of the time, a trip is never as good as where you're going. And as God's people, we ought to anticipate our arrival in heaven. We're going to see the King in all His beauty. There'll be nothing disappointing there. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty and shall behold a land that is very far off. You know, I've met Christians that mope around like they're on a trip to the graveyard rather than the glories of heaven. We're forgiven. We're going to see the King. We're going to see Him as He is. Now, just a couple of minutes here. There are differences between earthly and heavenly journeys. Sometimes your journey is aborted and you don't make it to the desired destination. But not so with our journey to heaven. God made our reservations before the world began and has done everything that is necessary for our safe arrival. Absolutely nothing can thwart the purpose of God. If you belong to Him, you're going to be with Him. If you're redeemed by the blood, you're going to be with the one who saved you, who loved you, who gave Himself for you throughout all eternity. So you have nothing to worry about if you're saved. Our earthly trips, you know, you got to come back to the daily grind. You know what that feeling is? When you're driving home and you're about 3 hours away from home and all of a sudden it hits you. Oh, wow. I got to check all those emails. We got to do all this laundry. These kids stink. We got to get all their laundry done. And you start thinking about everything you've got to get back to. But once we enter into heaven's glory, we're never going to go back to the way things were. Gone will be our sin nature. Gone will be every sorrow. And there'll only be joy everlasting. I hope you learn to feast on that. And thank God for that. On earthly trips, you sometimes meet with disappointment when you finally get there. You know, Lake Lure, where we're going tomorrow, looks like it's a paradise. Well, it may turn out that it's a swamp, you know. But even so, we've got porterhouse steaks. So I can make it work. But you'll not be disappointed in the least with heaven. Now, this last one is serious. Lost people can enjoy earthly journeys. But the end of their journey of life will be something that they could never think the severity of it could be that bad. If you die in your sins, you'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And that's real. That's why we ought to urge people and pray for people, repent and believe the gospel. But I wonder what your attitude is today. You're on this journey right now. How are you living? Do you constantly get your mind on everything that's swirling around in the world? Because if you do, you're going to be disappointed, discouraged, depressed. Get your mind on the Lord. Thank God for the joy on this journey and for the place you're going to and the people that you hope to take with you. Because there's nothing greater than being with the Lord forever. Let's all stand together.